Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Show worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell Porter.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic, the radio show where we talk about how authenticity can help you in all areas of your life, especially in the relationship you have with yourself. Today we have a very special guest, and I'm going to be introducing her in just a minute. But one of the most exciting announcements I have is that my second Dare book, Dare to Be Authentic, which came off the radio show originally, is going to be released in March of next year. It's going to be called Dare to Be Authentic, Learning to Love Yourself. I already have 10 beautiful authors that are going to be co-contributors to this book, and there'll be more. And I've already put it out for pre-sale. So check out my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com, and you can see all about Dare to Be Authentic, Learning to Love Yourself. Today I have a very special guest. Her name is Alka Dillon, and she's the founder and CEO of Technolink, one of the fastest-growing technology companies in the Washington metropolitan area. She's also known as the spiritual CEO because of her passion about bringing spirituality and mindfulness into the workplace, into businesses. I'm so excited to have her with me today. Welcome to the show, Alka.
Thank you. It is so nice to be here with you all.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you today. So tell me the story about how you came to be called the spiritual CEO. I mean, that caught my attention immediately, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on my show.
I think that came about with kind of what you were alluding to, is bringing spirituality and mindfulness into the workplace. And that is something that we don't see very often. It's a very different approach. It's an approach that a lot of people, I think, are scared of when they hear the word spirituality. They think of religion. They think of dogma. And that's not what this is. Spirituality in the workplace is all about how you approach something, and how you consciously approach anyone or anything determines the outcome of that situation or that interaction. And when we approach something mindfully and from a spiritual place, and that comes from within, that exchange always, the outcome is always fruitful. So that's where it came from.
Oh, fantastic. So tell us a little bit about what you do now and how you got to where you are, because you have a very successful business. You are CEO, and you even have a book coming out soon. But tell us a little bit about how the story of how you came to do the work you do and own the company you do now.
Sure. So let's see. Dating myself back. So I was working for a competitor in the mid-1990s, and I was in a situation where I was making them a lot of money, what I felt was a lot of money at that time, and it really was. And I said to myself, and I was in the information technology field, which is where I am right now, and I said to myself, you know, I can do this for myself. I really can. I believe in myself. I know I can do this. I just need to learn this business and learn it very well and then go out and do it on my own. So I said, okay, I'm going to stay here for 5 years and I'm going to learn it. And 5 years to the date, I left. However, there was a fly in the ointment at the time, because when I started Technolink, and that was in 2000, it was the burst of the IT bubble. And that was the worst time to most people to start an IT company. But I had already resigned, and I decided I needed to make soda out of the lemons that were given to me. And it actually, you know, it really ended up being a blessing, because it forced me to become very agile in my approach and thinking about different ways on how to get revenue, you know, from our clients. And instead of ignoring those clients and just waiting until when the best time would be for the business to come back, I stayed in touch with them. I just told them, I said, you know, we're here. Please remember us. This is what we do. When the time comes, keep us in mind. But we still needed to make money. So what we did was we decided to become a subcontractor in the federal marketplace. So we were in the commercial space at the time, didn't know anything about the federal government, and decided to be a subcontractor to the larger integrators that were here. And, you know, I just realized that I needed to check my ego at the door, and I'm not always going to be in front, but I will get that experience, and we will get that past performance. So when the time came that when the market came back, we were you know, cash flow positive, everything was great. Those are still our commercial clients that were, you know, hurting before remembered us, and here we are 14 years later, and we service both Fortune 500 and federal clients, and we are clearly one of the fastest growing technology and management consulting firms in the DC area right now.
That's fantastic. One of the things that you said that really struck me was you checked your ego at the door. And I love to hear something like that because you were able to do something. You were able to do what you had to do. You were able to say, this is not going to work out the way I expected it to work out, the way I dreamed it would work out and wanted it to work out. But regardless of this, I'm going to make my soda. I love that. I never heard anybody say soda. Everybody says lemonade. I'm going to make my soda, and it's going to be very different because it's going to be the kind of soda other people don't make. And that is just brilliant and one of the reasons why you've been so successful, Alka. I must say that I'm very impressed by that, the fact that you would move forward by doing something that was unpleasant at the time, but as you said, turned out to be beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. It definitely was not easy.
Yeah, it's never easy to check an ego or to have a dream and then have it collapse like that. You know, most people don't know, but I had an exporting company back in the 90s, and when my kids were really little, and I did the same thing. I was working for a company. I thought, you know what? He's paying me a pittance and making a lot of money, and I've been doing this since I was a kid. I can do this, and so I did. Well, my biggest clients were Korea and Indonesia, and their markets just fell. It was just gone. One day Korea had a market, the next day it didn't. And I'll never forget, I had a $50,000 order that I was waiting to collect on, $50,000 worth of merchandise. I was waiting to collect on my letter of credit, and I was like, my throat was like, oh my gosh, my heart was in my throat. And it just didn't work out the way I wanted to. I collected that money, everything was fine, but it wasn't the right time. But that's okay because I moved on to something else, so I love that. I know that you're so passionate about bringing the spirituality into the business world, and it's worked really well for you, as you say. How do we do that? You know, spirituality is not religion. Let's get that straight. But how do we, me, myself, all the listeners, how do we begin to bring spirituality of what you're talking about into our workplace, into our businesses?
I believe that you start with self-awareness. And I want to kind of extrapolate on that a little bit and expand on that. Self-awareness is not just hi, my name is Alka Dhillon. I'm a mother of two young children. I'm, you know, a wife. I'm a daughter. That's not self-awareness. That is just, those are the roles that you play. But self-awareness is when you truly go within. And how do you do that? You do that by practicing sitting in silence, what people refer to as meditation, which has, again, a very scary connotation to a lot of people as they think of, they picture someone sitting on a mountain somewhere, and it's not that. You just sit in silence, and when you do that and you close your eyes and you just take a deep breath and really sit there, you go within immediately. And you start to slow things down. your mind will still be going. You'll still be thinking about the daily grind of all the to-do list items and all the people you need to talk with and the things you need to do. And that's okay because you're human. So what happens is when you do that, however, you become more in touch with your authentic self, right? And you become self-aware. And then when you get up from that space, if you do it in the morning, and you come to the workplace, you're bringing that silence with you. That stillness comes with you. So what happens is then when you have those interactions, even though your body is moving, your mind is moving, your soul and your being is still. And it is such, it's a dichotomy, but it's priceless. And when you then interact with people, they will notice that because the manner in which you don't react and you respond to things, that's spirituality. The manner in which you approach someone being mindful of whom they are and where they come from and where they are coming from is spirituality. So.
Beautiful. So it's taking that pause. I mean, I'm forever talking to my clients about doing that. I call it the quiet time. I call it my quiet time. And I do it every morning. And it has completely transformed my life. But you're absolutely right. My mind used to be total chaos all the time, confusion, not knowing what step to take, you know, what program to do, what event was for me. And then when I began doing this, the clarity comes. That's what's first, you know, the peace comes and the clarity comes. So I like how you said that you bring this to work with you. So it's not something that you create at work. We have to create it within ourselves. And then it comes to work.
Exactly.
That's beautifully put. I love the way you say that. Very nice. So tell us a little bit about your book. I know you have a book coming up next year, very exciting, and it's entitled The OM Factor, A Woman's Guide to Leadership. Tell us a little bit about this, why you wrote it, and what the intentions for it is.
Yes, so very, very excited about this. The OM Factor is coming out in April of 2015, so early 2015. You'll have to look out for it. And it is the Woman's Spiritual Guide to Leadership. And it provides 7 essential tools and traits that you can apply to your life immediately in situations where you feel like you're hemorrhaging. So when you feel anxiety, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that in the moment? It is very easy when, you know, how I came when I was writing this book. Women, we as women, men also feel these feelings, right? But women especially, when we feel things, we are taught at a very young age to be able to handle it all and make it look good at the same time. Okay, and that's just not realistic. And you know what? If you're feeling anxiety, just, you know, put it under the rug and you'll be okay. You'll be okay. It'll all be okay. It's not okay. When you are hemorrhaging and you're feeling anxious or you're feeling scared, you need to be able to deal with that at that given moment. So what I do is I take 7 key emotions and feelings that women feel in the business world. Now, in their business world, that means could be in the corporate world, it could be at home, it could be for a nonprofit, it could be in corporate America, as I mentioned, anything. And when you're feeling these feelings, how do you deal with them when you're hemorrhaging? That's part one of the book. Part two of the book goes into how do you cultivate the essential traits that are required so that you don't feel those feelings that often. And when you do feel those feelings, you respond to those feelings rather than react to them. So it is definitely one of the first of its kind to bridge spirituality and the business world and how you bring that into the workplace, especially written by a female entrepreneur, and especially in this method. And why I call it the OM factor is because people, and I'm sure we've all met them, right, that are they're extremely successful, and they make it look good. And they're really okay, right? It's because they have the OM factor. They're able to go within, and it starts with meditation, go within, have that self-awareness, bring that to whatever that it is that they're doing in their workplace or in their day, and they just are, it's effortless. And that's what this is about and how to get more of that.
Beautiful. I love it. I love the whole concept. I love that it's written by a woman. I love that you're breaking into this business, the corporate world with this, talking about spirituality and bringing that forth to women who need it. We need it. I wish I had had that one back when I was working in the corporate world in the World Trade Center back in the 80s. I had no idea. I didn't even know what spirituality was. I knew what religion was. So I think it's wonderful that you're bringing this forward because it's so needed. It's so needed in this time. And I like that you expanded and said it doesn't have to be corporate. It could also be at home. This is something we can use at home in our own business. Some of us have our own business, a small business like I do. We can use this everywhere. So that sounds absolutely lovely. Let's talk a little bit about what authenticity, what kind of role does authenticity play in all of this?
So, you know, before I answer that, I have to compliment you. I've told you this before when we first met and talked that I love how you have gone out here and created a show called Dare to Be Authentic because it truly is daring. And I think just that title, it captivated me, and I just wanted to commend you on that because you have just, it makes you want to listen in, and it makes you, it actually takes the fear out of it because, it, you know, you can do this, dare to be authentic. So I think that's great. So I wanted to commend you on that. So
thank you so much. That's sweet.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having that. So I feel, this is Alka's, I feel that authenticity is truly your soul's mirror, right? And what I mean by that is, you know how there's the person that you show to the world when you feel when you feel people are watching, right? There's that person when you are getting ready, you're doing your hair, doing your makeup if you're a woman, or if you're a man, just putting your suit on, and you're getting ready, and you look in the mirror, and then you're just like, okay, I have to go meet with these people, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to say these things, whether you believe them or not. Sometimes, whether you agree with them or not, sometimes. But authenticity, when you talk about your soul's mirror, that's the person that you show to the world when you feel no one is looking. It's when no one is looking, what is your real essence? It's not the person that tailors their reactions and responses based on what you feel somebody wants to hear or see. Mm-hmm. And that mirror never lies, it never hides. And it's the true essence of yourself, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And one of the things that I've been striving for a very long time, and, you know, authenticity is a process. It's not like one day you became authentic and there you go. It's a process. you know, I'm finding more and more how I can be more authentic, be more who I really am, and discovering places where I thought I was who I was, but I wasn't. So it's a continual process. But one of the things that I strive for is, you know, that person you were talking about that is getting ready to meet somebody and that way or that way? I don't want to be that person. I want to be the real me when I meet you, when I meet whoever. I want to have enough faith in myself. I want to have enough self-confidence. I want to know that who I am is okay to be, my authentic self. I don't have to, you know, play a role. Not that I want to come out without doing my hair or looking professional, but that I can still be me. And, yeah, that's why I call it Dare, because it's not easy. It's almost easier to play the role because you think you can fool people, but there's nothing to me, there's nothing as wonderful as being who you are and feeling the power of it. And that's why I'm so passionate about authenticity, because once I could feel powerful as me, I mean, there's no limit because I'm being me. I don't have to practice being someone else. So lovely. I don't want to, I'll go on and on and on about authenticity because it's not kind of my thing, but thank you. And I do agree completely with your description of authenticity and what it is. Yes, it's who we are. It's who we really are inside. And sometimes we have to dig for that. For myself, I had lost all of that. I didn't even know who I was for a long time. And I had to dig for it. And then I had to fight to be who I was because people wanted me to be that person that I had made up, who I thought I was. They wanted me to play that role again, and I wasn't ready to play it anymore. I was unwilling to play it anymore. Beautiful. Very nice. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Great.
Feeling stuck in a loveless relationship? Afraid to let your authentic self shine? Don't know how to share your feelings? Get solutions to challenges long-term couples face from Lorna McCarty, a professional coach who cares, at www.phoenixrisingrelationships.com. Take action, stay positive, live in the now. Get results today. Reignite the passion with a free Rekindle the Passion discovery session. Go to www.phoenixrisingrelationships.com.
Would you like to turn your money anxiety into money attraction? If you're really sick of struggling with money, I have an exciting proposition for you. I have a money product I'm about to release, and I need your feedback to make sure it's exactly what everyone will want. Go to the blog tab at stressreliversnow.com to learn more.
Hi, we're back with Dare to Be Authentic Radio. We have Alka Dillon as our special guest today. She's the founder and CEO of Technolink, Inc., and she's also known as the spiritual CEO. So, Alka, I wanted to talk a little bit about bringing the spirituality into work means that you have to do it at home. It's like this has to be your lifestyle. One of the things I get a lot from clients, and I hear just in general, is I don't have time for that. You know, I have three kids. I'm running a business. I work 80 hours a week. I don't have time to sit and just do nothing. I don't have time to sit and just breathe. What would you say to someone who says that?
I would say to someone that's an excuse. I would say to someone that all you need to do is sit for 5 minutes. And, I mean, there are people that have, that are, you know, look at even the president running this country can take 5 minutes. So I think if you just, and I can go through this briefly, you just whenever, if you're at home and you have kids that are going off to school, when they go off to school, if you are at home, wait till they go away and just sit down anywhere. I don't care if it's on the floor, in the kitchen, you're sitting on a chair, whatever it is, have your phone next to you, turn on the timer for 5 minutes, place your hands with your palms facing upward on top of your knees. Close your eyes, take a couple of deep breaths, and just sit there and observe your breath without manipulating it, without controlling it, like you want to control your life, and just be until that timer goes off. When the timer goes off, sit for a couple more seconds to just recalibrate and go on with your day. Do not judge the meditation. That is a meditation. And that is the fallacy that's out there, is that meditation means it has to be for a certain amount of time, it has to be in a certain location, or I have to be thoughtless. That's mm-hmm. not true at all. It is just going within. So there's nothing that, I mean, I practice this every day, and it doesn't matter how long you practice it. What matters is how often you do it and how consistent you are. So I'd rather you do... And where you will see the difference is if you do 5 minutes every day versus 30 minutes once a week. That's not going to work for you.
That's good. I like that. And 5 minutes, I mean, it seems like a long time when you first do it. I sometimes tell my clients, try starting with 3 minutes and then move it up to five, you know, do 3 minutes so many days, because if you've never ever done it before, it seems like an eternity. I remember when I first started, I would do the same thing you said. I would set the timer and I would think, this thing is never going to end. Now, I just love the quiet and the peace, and I crave it. And I do agree that if you do it every day consistently, because that's what I have experienced in my life, your life will change. You will change dramatically. You will become more peaceful, more centered, more focused, and have a lot more clarity in your life. That's one of the biggest things I receive with clarity. Did you find that too, Alko? How long ago did you start meditating? We never talked about that. Did you do it
since you were a child? No. So 17 years ago, my father passed away very suddenly from a heart attack. He was only 57, and he was very healthy, and yeah, it was really tough. I was 22, and I have currently two younger sisters, and one was about to graduate college, and one was just about to graduate high school. And you know, my mother was also there, and we had a friendship in our family. It was not only love and the love you get from your parents and the security you get, but we had a friendship and a bond. And it was very tough because it was so sudden, right? You see the person in the morning, you don't see them in the evening. And it took a toll and has taken a toll on all of us, and everybody deals with it differently. I am the eldest. And at that point in time, I ended up, it affected me so much that I ended up for the next 30 days going in and out of the emergency room. And no one could figure out what was wrong. One day there was one day where I couldn't even get out of bed because my legs wouldn't work. My legs just wouldn't work. It was as if I was paralyzed. And I certainly didn't have that wrong with me. I would have major palpitations. I would, you know, sweat profusely, all these different things. And I'm rushed to the emergency room almost every other day. And one day I just looked in the mirror and I didn't know who that person was. I didn't. I mean, I looked like hell, first of all. But aside from that, I just didn't know who. When I looked in my eyes, there was no light. There was no light. Everything was gone. And I enrolled in a yoga class. Never done yoga before at that point. Mm-hmm. And I enrolled in a yoga class. And in that yoga class, there was meditation. Now, I'd always seen my father. My father was a meditator. He meditated every day when he would go jogging by the water. We lived in Mount Vernon in Alexandria near the Potomac River. And he would sit and meditate, and I would always see him, and I'd think, oh, that's weird. But in this class, there was meditation. I sat there and for the first time did it, and I have never looked back. And after that, after doing it I went there 3 times a week, and after 2 weeks, I didn't set foot in an emergency room after that.
Wow.
So it was life-changing.
It certainly was. What a beautiful story. I mean, I'm sorry about your dad, but you were able to extract yourself from that. I mean, you were having physical symptoms because of your loss. So that's a beautiful story. Well, it has been just wonderful to have you on the show. Is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener as we're closing out the show?
I would. I want to just say one thing about, we were talking about various things when things come up. We were talking about, you know, in the workplace, how do you do it? How do you bring spirituality? One thing that's really important to note is that there will always be conflict, right? There will be conflict around you. And that can really be worrisome at times, right? I would just ask that you please, to all listeners, to everyone, please resist the temptation to respond to that conflict at the level of thought that created that conflict. Do not lower yourself and react to a situation. Uplift yourself and respond.
Beautiful. Well, we have to close out the show. Thank you so much, Alka. That was beautifully said. Thank you for being on the show. And listeners, I'll be back next Wednesday, 12:30 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See you at the next airing of Dare to Be Authentic.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Show Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell Porter.